Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 9 a.m. service on Sunday, May 15th, 2022.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you." This is the gospel of our Lord.
mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. We don't know what he's talking about. You know, I've often wondered if somebody here says that about one of my sermons. And I have to admit, I really hope that's not the case. I really do try my best to be clear when I preach the Word of God, because this is the responsibility that God has given to me, to present it to you in its truth and purity. But you know, if someone says that of me, perhaps, just perhaps, I can take it as a compliment. As we heard in today's text, those words would place me in the best of company. We do not know what he is talking about, the disciples say. And believe it or not, that's what they're saying about Jesus' words. So we're going to take a closer look this morning to make sure that we get what they did not get at that time. Now Jesus said, a little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me again. Now, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, does that make sense to you? I'll say this, it better. For blessed are we to have what the disciples did not. We have not only the Old Testament, but the New Testament of the Holy Bible, which confirms not only Jesus' crucifixion on the cross, but his resurrection from the dead. But of course, Jesus did keep warning those disciples of what was soon to come. But it seemed as though they did not want to hear it. Then again, who could blame them? I want you to put yourself in their sandals this morning. Let's say you've left everything behind, and you've walked with Jesus for 3 years. You've seen a lot of stuff, and now you're almost there. You're almost in the holy city, and your expectations are high. Would you want to hear Jesus say that he was going to be put to death there? And would you have believed Jesus when he said that he would rise again from the grave? It helps to recall when Jesus spoke those words. It was, of course, on the night of his betrayal. Within a few hours, the disciples would see Jesus no longer. Certainly not in the same way they had seen him throughout those past 3 years. The Last Supper had just concluded. Did you ever think about that? They were the first to receive the body and blood of their Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see through word and sacrament, Jesus was preparing them for what was about to happen. He told his disciples about his going away. He said he would soon be returning to the Father. Now, sitting here, I think you'd agree with me, that sounds clear enough, doesn't it? Exactly what didn't they understand? Then from the upper room, they headed out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there Jesus would pray. There his disciples would fall asleep, still unaware of what was about to take place. And then when Jesus' betrayer, the temple guard, arrived, they woke up. They ran away and left Jesus behind. Jesus stood before Pilate. Jesus was then presented to the people. And even though Jesus did no wrong, the crowds cried out for his crucifixion. And then from there, beaten and bloodied from fists and the scourge, Jesus made that painful trek to Golgotha, where he would be nailed to a cross. And then Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus would place his lifeless body in a tomb. A stone would be rolled over the entrance and then sealed shut. And all of this took place in a little while. As Jesus said, then you will see me no longer. What wasn't there to understand? Jesus made no secrets of what would happen to him. He told those disciples, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament. Jesus tells them you will be sorrowful. And of course, grieve they did. For in just a little while, the one in whom they had placed all their hopes, their master and friend and teacher, Jesus, would be dead. And they would feel as though all their hopes had died with him. Jesus told them all this beforehand. What wasn't there to understand? Or, you know, maybe it's better asked, what did those disciples understand? As I said before, they left their lives and vocations behind. And they had come so very far with Jesus. They looked forward to Jesus taking the throne of David. They hoped to be a part of Jesus' royal court. And now they looked forward to an uncertain and frightening future. The authorities had killed Jesus. What would those authorities do to them? Now, did they recall what Jesus told them? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. Of course, we know that's what the world did. Jesus' enemies rejoice. They demanded his death, and they got exactly what they wanted. They said, Jesus is finally getting what he deserved. Who was he to lecture us on mercy? Who was he to threaten us with judgment? Who was he to call them to repentance? Exactly who does he think he is? So yes, the world laughed at the death of Jesus. But those who loved Jesus wept. And now the disciples were left to wonder what would happen to them. What wasn't there to understand? Jesus had told them what would happen. Had they really forgotten what he said? That again, a little while, and you will see me. Not long, a few days. And they would see him with their own eyes in flesh, in resurrected flesh, coming to them, calming their fears, offering them his peace. Jesus had told them. What wasn't there to understand? Jesus said, your sorrow will turn to joy. And when they saw their master alive, they rejoiced just as he said. And then, when Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures, they began to recall and finally began to understand what he told them all along. Jesus had to die to make payment for sins, to put death to death once and for all. Had God's Son not died for sinners, for the disciples and you and me, then all of us would have been lost forever. But the risen Lord came to them. He stood among the disciples on that Easter night, bearing the marks of his crucifixion, confirming all that he had told them, proving him the victorious Messiah, and showing them that the Father had accepted his sacrifice for the sins of us all. And then, of course, in a little while, they would watch as Jesus ascended into the heavens above and returned home to his Father. But not before making this promise to them and to us, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. They were finally starting to get it. They watched Jesus, then they obeyed his command and went to Jerusalem, where the Holy Spirit came to them on the day of Pentecost, just as Jesus had promised. And from there they went out as Jesus told them to do, to be witnesses to all the world. And because of that, for that very reason, we are here today. Because of Jesus' promise to be with us always. Here, where Jesus comes to us in the same word and sacrament that he brought to his disciples on that night in the upper room, to show us that his victory over sin, death, and the grave was not only for those disciples, but for you and me today, and for all who believe. And today he comes to you to give you a joy that no one can ever take away from you. A deep and rich joy. A joy that runs deeper and further than all the troubles and sorrows you will ever experience while you are stuck in this cursed creation. But then again, this is where we are for a little while. So yes, my friends, you know it well. For now, you are going to experience some pain and sorrow, just as your Lord did before you. And yes, the world will hate you, just as it hates Jesus. And just as the world rejoiced in the suffering of Jesus, so the world will take joy in yours. The world will persecute you, make fun of you, and speak ill of you. The devil will tempt you. The evil one will try to get you to throw in the towel and turn your back on Jesus. Satan will point you to all those earthly pleasures in which people indulge themselves. And he will do it claiming it's proof that God does not care for you. But Satan is a liar. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. God is truth, and God has told you he cares. And so Jesus calls upon you to endure in faith. And so this you must do for a little while. And again, to help you do that, we must remember what Jesus says. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus does not leave you alone to endure. Even though Jesus has ascended to be with the Father, he has promised to be with us always here in his church. And it is here that Jesus gives himself to us. It is here that Jesus speaks to us, where he calls himself to us, and calls upon us to give ourselves to him and to one another in service. And not only to ourselves, but to all the world. Jesus gave himself for us all. And this is his purpose for us. And as those who have been joined to him in both his death and resurrection, my friends, you and I can do no less. Just as Jesus gave his all for us, we are expected to give our all for him. And to do all we can while we can for all that we can. For Jesus reminds us, we must do the works of him who sent me while it is day, for night is coming when no one can work. Do you understand? Sure you do. Jesus is speaking to you, and there is no mistaking what he says. Time is indeed growing short, and soon the one who is seated on the throne will say, "Look, I am making all things new." My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the time is now, and we are his people. Let's invest ourselves in all that we have in living out our faith and sharing it here in our church, in our homes, in our communities, and wherever life finds us, with the unbridled joy of knowing that Christ is coming again to take us home. In a little while, my friends, in just a little while, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.